Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Welcome back to the show, the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. Runners, riders, or both, and of course our incredible DL Link supporters, that is you. Something big is coming up because for the first time ever, we're heading to the Cape Town Marathon on its journey to becoming one of the majors. So it's all about a new city, it's a new race. But of course, it's the same powerful purpose. So whether you've pounded the pavement with us before or you're ready for your first big challenge, this is your moment. Join Team DL Link. Help us make it huge, loud, proud, and deeply meaningful. And riders, mark your calendars because Ride Joburg this year is on October the 26th. Save the date. It's one mission, two cities, both Sundays. Let's run. Let's ride. Let's make it count. Information, you can email events at dllink.co.za. That is events at dllink.co.za. And we continue, and I've been really looking forward to this conversation with Anele Siswana, who is a clinical psychologist and a Khoza divine healer, which is an I cannot pronounce it, and I'm hoping Anele is going to help me. But the conversation that we're going to be having today is how the clinical dances with the divine, spiritual and cultural. So there was Traditional Medicine Week from the 26th to the 31st of August. That was last week. And it was really the reminder about this tremendous healing in Africa and this traditional healing and this ancestral healing and how that merges, if at all, with clinical psychology and when it comes to mental illness. And I think it's such an interesting topic. Anele, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Nikki. I'm very glad to be part of this conversation.
Well, okay. So please help me with the correct pronunciation. You're a clinical psychologist and an Ikmairi. Say that again.
You remember the Miriam Makeba song?
Yes. Okay, well, I'm trying.
It's a divine healer.
But this is a cause of divine healer. That's what it is. So I'm so interested, Anele. What came first for you? Was it becoming a clinical psychologist or was it becoming a healer? Please share your story. I'm dying to know.
My story is one of an interesting one. I come from a tradition of healers from my maternal side. We hail from the Eastern Cape, KwaBhaca, known as Mount Frere, in the deep rural towns of Eastern Cape. So my great-grandmother, her name was Noma Khosa. She was a healer who then, generations later, gifted me with the gift to be a healer. So the idea of divinity, spiritual calling, stems from my contextual background of coming from a family of diviners and healers. And how this got about, I've been just going on and about with my life like any other typical child, but I'm told I have always been a very different child, quite unique in terms of my mannerisms, of my maturity. And obviously I became a child like any other typical child, but there was this nuance that made me stand out. And so in response to your question, what came first? I think on both ends, being a healer, it's a gift from home. Psychology found me. And how I then explain that, as I come from a family of diviners, I was not kind of exceptional that I would not be one that possesses this gift. And obviously in psychology, choosing me, I was not the smartest, Nikki. I was not one of those kids that will get accolades and everything else that made them or kind of identify them as smart. And so I didn't even qualify from my matric straight to university. I had to write an assessment test that merged the point systems that I needed to get into the program. And I got in 2008. And since then, the choosing became more evident that I never failed. And in 2013, I was selected to train as a clinical psychology at Rhodes University. And so my journey goes as far as that. And then the divine calling has always been there. But in the profession of psychology, we get taught this Western way of looking at the world. And I'm like, why would I pay attention to this kind of barbaric, or you can name it, uninformed or less educated practice of diviners? But it took me a number of years of sickness that medical science and medicine couldn't explain, which then necessitated to see a healer, and that healer confirmed that part of what will heal me is basically to respond to my ancestral calling, which I then did.
Wow. What a journey, Anneli. What an
Has been.
extraordinary journey. And it's just, when I picture you, I almost picture you with your arms up in the air and you're kind of, surrendering to this journey that's been laid out with, bumps along. I'm certain of that, but how extraordinary. So I think, Anneli, I would be remiss if we didn't clarify what you mean by a family of diviners. So you talk about your great-great-grandmother. She's passed down this gift, as you've said. What does it look like? What is it to be a diviner?
Okay, so from my understanding and from the background that I've done, my great-grandmother was the healer and gave birth to my grandmother, who was also a healer, who trained as a teacher as well. Then it was my mother and my aunts. And somehow in my family, there's either a prophet, one who has a prophetic gift of dreams or seeing things. So I can rather say we are a family of seers, people who see. We have a family of diviners, those who do the kind of work that I do in terms of the African context. We have people who are priests. So the whole idea of divinity is what stands out from what I've seen and what I've known. But I happen to be one distinctly that has successfully completed the process, because some are just gifted and never completed the process of training as igqwetha. So what then happens is that, Nikki, there is often a chosen one, generations across. So I am the fourth generation of Norman Khosa's lineage, who was married to my great-grandfather. And so in there, I suppose I'm then the chosen one to continue with the trajectory of divinity and being a divine healer. So I then had to respond to the calling. I went to initiation for a process of 2 to 3 years, but it became more profound in 2023, 2024. And then in 2024, end of 2024, I then graduated and became a fully fledged healer.
And so, Anneli, as you were saying, while you were studying and you were doing your psychology and how that opened up for you and you got sick, and then when you went to a healer, that's when it became really obvious for you that this was something that you had to pursue. So your whole life you were told, you're different, there's something unique, there's something interesting, but it was only going through this sickness that you then pursued it more, as you say, this going for this initiation. Is that how that worked for you?
I would say largely part of it.
Yeah.
Well,
Amazing.
initially, I had thought I've always known the idea of vocation in my
Yeah.
life. And
Yes.
so even when I was choosing careers, I did a career assessment. It did indicate that I'm more drawn into humanities. I grew up as a very eloquent, young public speaker doing debates and all of that. So I've always known my vocation has to do with a voice, meaning the voice is what I will be using I've always known there's something inherent that draws me to working with people. There was an element of creativity around my thinking and around the way of how I do things. But it then became consolidated as I was now applying for university. And quite interestingly, Nikki, the first initial thing that came to my mind, and at that time I was very staunch in the Methodist Church of Southern Africa. I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so I thought my vocation is through or towards the lines of ministry of word and sacrament to be a Methodist priest. Wow. Or a Methodist minister. And again, my world at the time was framed in the Western way of looking at faith, of theology and the doctrine, obviously being a Wesleyan. And so this idea of traditional healing felt it will take me away from my convictions at that time. And I wouldn't say the sickness itself is what drew me to the response, but rather it became an intersection that for me, if I then want to heal my lineage generation, I was told part of the ultimatums is me responding to this calling so that my ancestors can release their blessings, can help me to be able to transcend beyond the vocation, but to something that is merely a gift only meant for me. So the trajectory of divinity, the trajectory of this conviction around being a voice, either ancestrally or other from a voice of being a priest, has always been there. But then again, I then resolved it in my head that part of my journey begins with having to respond to this. But interestingly, I always say my ancestors are quite smart people. They then had to equip me with the Western language and give me the tools that will help me navigate the world of divinity, the world of theology, that will then help me to locate myself as a scholar and a practitioner within this field. And I see these interviews today as a culmination of that having helped me to get through this profession of psychology to be where I am, followed by then the kind of training as a healer, and always having had studied theology, just did a certificate in theology. So there are all of these interesting moving parts. I always see, say to people, I live in three worlds. One world of psychology, which is quite Western. Second world of kind of divinity in terms of African spirituality, and the world of theology. And throughout these themes, it's vocation, it's healing, and being of service.
Yeah, and you know, it's where we're heading, Anele. You're seeing, we are seeing so many merging of, you know, ancestral cultures, beliefs, healing from all over the world, merging with this more Western traditional. You spoke about, you know, how frustrating it was for you in the beginning, the psychology, but we're seeing so much of the merging and this coming together seems to be where there is true healing. So I just so love, Anele, that you are bringing this African traditional medicine and this modern mental health and, you know, what people are going through, and you're merging them. So what was this this African traditional medicine week like? Were you interviewed? Were you speaking about it? And do you see, because unfortunately we don't have too much time, so it's, I am going to have to cut it short, but do you see a future for this? Do you see a big need? Do you think more and more people are going to perhaps delve in this area?
I think places like Netcare, Akiso, particularly in Randburg, there's been a growing interest of seeing the need for this. I mean, I work with a psychiatrist that's quite open-minded, Dr. Jones and Wenda, who's quite really good in working with African clients, and he understands that there's always a transcendence from our understanding of the mind-body, but the transcendence of the spirit and the soul, and that's where I come in. So the kind of work that I do legitimizes the need for this collaboration or the need for this integration, and obviously the scientific community thrives in research articles and publications and all of that. And I suppose I then become that voice that legitimizes the importance of this work through research, through writing. My PhD looks at the intersection of African healing practices and mental health interventions from the Western biomedical science model, and I want to develop a model that can be used by practitioners as to how to engage with this kind of work. So I believe through legitimacy of writing and research and publication, we're getting somewhere. And there's going to be a lot of then people who come into this space to make sure that our people get the idea and imagination of what well-being looks like in Africa for Africans by African practitioners.
What an amazing thing that you're doing. You're starting something extremely powerful, Anele. And as you say, everything has led you here. For people who are interested in exploring this, or they want to talk to you about this, or they want to participate in this intersection of these two worlds, can they be a part of it with you, part of your writing, part of this? Would they be in touch with Netcare Kagiso? I mean, how is it working moving forward?
I'm open to collaborations, and also understanding that for this kind of work to reach masses, it goes far beyond than just it being done as a personal endeavor, but more of a collaborative kind of endeavor. And I'm not only situated in one lens of looking at this. I'm very much open-minded to the idea of spiritualities than looking at spirituality from an African perspective lens or from an African spirituality lens. I believe whether Hindu, whether Muslim, whether Jewish, there's something particularly around faith, around religion, around all of these ideas of how we think about God and see the world have a lot to do with helping our individuals to see and imagine healing. So I'm more of an interfaith and interdisciplinary scholar, theologically, as a psychologist and that. And for those who want to get hold of me, they can get hold of me through my work on bookings at anelesiswana.co.za, bookings at anelesiswana.co, as well as 072-048-6361, 072-048-6361. Happy to for people to follow me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and other spaces that I'm quite involved in. But I'm for the idea of interfaith, interdisciplinary school of thinking, so that the kind of work that we do in Africa really speaks for the people that we serve.
Just incredible, Anele. I love that. And I love that interfaith. And I love the looking at the spiritual side or the God or whatever it is for you in the healing and the well-being. And what that means and what that's going to look like. Because we know the role that medication plays, and we know, the whole pharmacology side of it. And I'm not poo-pooing any of that. And we're not looking at psychiatry, we're looking at psychology here, and then we're looking at this healing. But I am so interested, and I certainly will be watching closely. I think there's such a need for this, that when we look at mental health, we look at well-being, physical, mental, emotional, we know, well, I certainly see it, the role that spirituality plays. So, Anele, thank you so much for this wonderful dialogue that we've had today. And I wish you all the best and that you move forward and make these phenomenal insights and discoveries. And it's just been lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Take care.
And you too. Anele Siswana, clinical psychologist and Xhosa divine healer here on 101.9 High FM.